Once again, welcome to our candidates. This is the forum between the First District Supervisor candidates, Carrie Brown, who is the incumbent, and Mr. Montana Padva, who is the challenger. A reminder to the candidates, you'll each get 1 minute opening statement, and you'll get 1 minute at the end for a closing statement. We're going to take approximately 45 minutes. Each candidate also can take 30 seconds to respond to something the other said. Just raise your hand, let me know that you have something to add, and I'm happy to call on you. The timekeepers are right here. When you have 10 seconds remaining in your 1 minute answer, you'll see the yellow card, and when your time is up, you will see the red card, and you need to wrap it up very quickly.
Thank you. So,
with the rules established, let's get started. Carrie Brown, why don't you start first?
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie Brown. I want to thank you for being here tonight. I'm a lifelong resident of Mendocino County, in fact, fifth generation. I was born and raised in Ukiah, and I've lived in Potter Valley for the last 40 years. I live on the family ranch. My husband, Lewis, is a rancher, beef cattle and grass hay. I have four children and two grandchildren. I have given a lifetime of public service, and it has been a pleasure to do so. That's the way I was raised, is giving back to my community. Numerous boards and commissions I have sat on. I've helped with youth activities. I'm a former school board trustee, but I get involved wherever I go, and I work really hard. I'm in the last year of my second term, and I am seeking re-election this year. I want to have your consideration when you vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Montana Padva.
My name is Montana James Padva. I'm a third generation on my mother's father's side, Californian, and a fourth generation on my mother's, Tehama County and Danville, California. My family, I have two daughters who have two wonderful granddaughters, and I have a son who's a construction manager working on the Salesforce Tower in San Francisco. My desire in life has always been public service. From the time that I was folding newspapers, delivering them to the front porch of all my clients, to the time when I saw Justice William O. Douglas excoriating Richard Nixon, telling him, "We should not have invaded Iran and overthrown the Mossadegh prime minister." I am a dedicated public servant. I worked for the California Energy Commission and served writing the bicentennial report to the governor and the legislature in 1983. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we'll start the questions with Mrs. Brown. What do you feel are the most important problems in the First District today?
In the First District, I will have to say, and it's been ongoing since I took office in 2009, and that is water supply. And we have gone through a horrific drought countywide and within the state, but water supply for the people, the county residents, as well as the environment, has been a real issue. It was in 2009, 2010. Got great rain in 12. Then we all know what we went through in 2013. I've worked very hard to look at other ways for water supply, to add additional acre feet. I'm working right now on a feasibility study in raising Coyote Valley Dam, what was in the original Congressional Act. Besides that, it's also, my communities are very fearful of big box stores. And so I'm working on those issues as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Padva.
Yes, the big box store issue in Redwood Valley began because the current supervisor wasn't doing her job communicating with the planning commissioner. Had they been talking about what was going on, clearly that could have been avoided. They've created a MAC. Apparently, they need to have another government agency spending $2,500 of taxpayers' money, when in fact, both the Democratic and or Republican Central Committee members would have been happy to talk to the supervisors had they been consulted regarding the desire to have a corporate box store in Redwood Valley that will take the money to their corporate headquarters in Tennessee. There is a location right on Highway 101, the frontage where the Cookie Factory used to be. I drove by all the time when I had my law practice in Willits for 10 years between 1983 and 1993. It's available, and I think that that ought to be considered.
Thank you. We'll start with you. Yes, go ahead with 30 seconds.
Mr. Padva, you need to read our general plan and become very familiar with it, along with our zoning ordinances. That's what dictated the ability for a box store to go into Redwood Valley. And on the MAC, that is a community effort that I support. And I support the citizens in being able to form an advisory council that can advise the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors.
I'd like to respond to that. The reality is there was ample opportunity to do that. What they've created is a MAC that's repeating, and I applaud the people, and I'm glad that it's formed now that the horses are out of the barn. But again, it's duplicative. It's another government agency that did not have to be created had the Democratic and the Republican Central Committee members been used as they're supposed to be used.
Okay. We'll start this time with Mr. Padva. What do you propose to do with the garbage dump in the first district?
Like all issues of that nature, the garbage dump issue has to be addressed to see if we're doing all we can do to stop the waste in the first place. Unnecessary purchasing, things that you buy, be mindful. If there's another place to take it, then take it there. So a lot of you commute down south. Take it to Sonoma County or someplace else. You know that they're taking all your water, all our water. They ought to take our trash too.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown.
I'm assuming they're talking about the former City of Ukiah dump located at Vichy Springs. That is owned by the City of Ukiah, and I believe remediation is being done. It is a closed site, but I'm a full supporter of recycling. Constantly green waste, food waste, and also the sites that we do have around the county are paid for by the county through contracts that they have with the vendors. And yes, we do transport most our garbage out of Mendocino County, and it does go to Solano, not Sonoma. We have a wonderful compost facility, Cold Creek Compost, that was very tough when he first started out, but he really does a lot of recycling of green waste, animal waste, you name it. And he has a wonderful business, and that's the type of businesses we should be supporting.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll start this time with Mrs. Brown. What do you see, how do you see improving the mental health crisis in our county?
It is a crisis. It's not only a crisis in Mendocino County, it's throughout the state and across the nation. I remember when they closed the state hospital, and actually they closed it because they said it was so costly. But what have we paid? What price have we paid since that time? I was not deeply involved in the mental health issues, but I did meet with a lot of constituents to discuss them, because I do not sit on the advisory boards that a couple of my colleagues do. But I certainly was a swing vote to try to change where we were headed with Ortner Management Group, and felt they hadn't done the job. I think we have a brighter path in front of us. We have spent $48 million trying to deal with mental health. We're still dealing with it. And I think we're on the right road now and headed for a much brighter future for the people that need that service.
Thank you. Mr. Padva?
Yes, I believe Margie Hanley has a hospital up in Willits that's for sale. that would fill the requirements for a mental health facility. It would not carry the stigma of locating such a place anywhere near the county jail. People who have mental health issues vary for short time to long time, and they want and need to be near their family and their relatives. The truth is, each and every one of us suffer from cognitive dissonance, just the way we were taught in school. 45 minutes on this subject, ring the bell, 45 minutes on another subject, just as you were getting ready and interested in a subject matter. You had to put it down and go do something else, unless you were taught in the Montessori method or other alternative education systems. My hope and desire is that it won't be another Ronald Reagan, who I think Carrie may have voted for when she was a Republican, that closed the mental health facilities. We need to keep those facilities open for all of us.
Thank you. We'll start with Mr. Padva. The county is contracting for mental health services. It has considered but rejected contracting for animal shelter services. Can you suggest any services that the county now performs that you would contract out?
I don't like the idea of contracting out something unless there can be an absolute guarantee that the constitutional rights of the that are being contracted out are protected. Too often, for instance, privatizing jails, who's to guarantee that those people take an oath to support, to protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic? That's an oath that every local, state, and national government employee takes. Private enterprise doesn't require that. I would be very afraid to give up something unless I knew absolutely that those workers were going to be paid a decent wage, and in fact, those employees took that same oath to our Constitution. It's a simple document. It's something we should all revisit. Too often, too many people who take that oath haven't studied it, and it's honored only in the breach.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown?
Thank you. I'm not aware of any services that the county provides that I would endorse contracting out. I am glad that the request for proposal did not go through, in fact, it was very slow, but did not finalize. I think it's important that the county face the issues of what is going on at the animal shelter. They have done an investigation. There needs to be some remodeling done to have an animal shelter we can all be proud of. But certainly, we have put some more policies in. The new supervisor at the animal shelter has reinstituted a number of committees, and I think it's headed in the right direction now. Thank you.
Thank you. This question will start with Mrs. Brown. What do you propose to do to deal with our large unfunded pension debt?
Well, it is a large unfunded pension debt, and it's very scary. But I would like to first say that I knew we had a huge debt with our general fund. And going into office, I found out how huge that was. The first time I ran, I also talked about Teeter Plan. The Teeter Plan, nobody knew nothing about, even those that are supposed to be taking care of it at county government. Teeter Plan was $12 to $14 million, and that was a debt to the county. That has been paid off now, and I'm very proud of that. We have a general fund now that's no longer a problem. And I will say that the county has been saving for a pension reserve fund. And we do have $3.45 million in that now. And that's to create the funding when we have a gap in what we would owe. We are paying more each year. Thank you. I went over.
Mr. Padva.
Yeah, that happened probably because of the nepotism, cronyism, and corruption that occurs in small towns and small counties all too often. I don't have that problem. While I'm a Californian, I've lived for the last 30 year or so years between Marin, Sonoma, and Mendocino County. I love this part of the earth. Whenever I come past what used to be called Squaw Rock, I have this sense of feeling that I've entered the Hobbit Land, where people genuinely love and care, not only for their neighbors, but also for the critters. Whether they need to hunt them, they do so, but they do it with reverence and respect to put food on the table for their families. I have a great feeling and sense that this county can excel in a lot of ways that it hasn't if they only return to the Constitution rather than to hometown cronyism. Thank you.
Mrs. Brown.
Thank you. And in response, Mr. Padva, the county Board of Supervisors has taken a lot of action to address that pension debt. And part of that is PEPRA. And another part of that is excessive earnings and how those are spent. A very painful experience was taking away retirees' health care. Didn't sleep for a long time. And but that the excess earnings can no longer be used for that, and hopefully we'll be going back in to pay the debt.
I'd like to respond to that. It's clear that there's new taxes coming to town in terms of the taxes on marijuana. Those taxes could be dedicated to funding the pension fund. There's no doubt in my mind that other people have other desires for it. Not only should it fund the pension fund, it should also fund the rehab, the education, let our young children know what happens to them when they're on any particular drug. We've got people who've lived their whole life. We have those case studies already. We could show videos of people, how they looked before and after their life on any particular drugs. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll start this time with Mr. Padva. How should Mendocino County prepare for what appears to be imminent legalization of marijuana?
Should be on the forefront. They were on the forefront, Mendocino County was, in developing the best strains of marijuana in terms of the cannabinoid content and the THC content. And now we should be marketing as the Emerald Triangle, the best buds available for both medicine and or recreational use, if that's what it is. But also the responsibility, having it regulated just like alcohol. Don't allow children to begin and go down a path that too many of us did with cigarettes when they were available. And even though it was illegal until you were 18 or 21 when I was growing up, there were plenty of kids smoking them in the high school bathrooms. I never did, but I certainly inhaled a lot of that stuff that was in there whenever I needed to use the facility.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown?
Yes. A number of years ago, the County Board of Supervisors did take action under the zoning code to add regulation and requirements for anyone that grew medical marijuana. Here comes the U.S. Attorney General, threatened us very severely, and most of that went to waste and all the work we had done. In 2015, I was the board chair and wrote letters to the entire region. We know what's coming down, don't know about recreational marijuana or if any of the 16 proposed ballot measures will be on the California ballot in November, but we must prepare for what's coming. There was legislation that was passed just last fall on the growing of medical marijuana that mandates counties put together local governance and regulations, and that may include taxing it, but we're working really hard to address it. We haven't shied away.
Thank you. We'll start with Mrs. Brown. What's your position on Measure V?
There's probably not a person in the room that doesn't know where I stand on Measure V. I side with Fire Chief Jim Little in Laytonville. and I am opposed to it. The forest practice rules require that certain management practices be followed. And Tan Oak, I want to take it aside for a minute. I worked with a biomass group, and what they're doing is biochar. I went to one of their trials up in Laytonville, and during the day's meeting, we learned, and the trial was done with Tan Oak to make the biochar. They went back, this has been a year later, they went back to where they cut down the Tan Oaks, and they had grown back taller than the people that had cut them down. They were so invasive. So I am voting no on Measure V.
Thank you, Mr. Padva.
Not surprising. I would vote in favor of Measure V. I'm against hack and squirt because I don't know what chemicals they're using to kill those trees. I do know that the critters that depend on those trees are being killed also. Be they birds, insects, whatever, deer, whatever's in the forest is being affected by that. And if it's being leached into the groundwater every time it rains, we could be at jeopardy too in the groundwater supply. It's a bad idea, just like clear cutting was a bad idea that created these hardwoods coming in anyway. But clear cutting it was until Redwood Summer occurred. And we all know why. Because the industry controlled Mendocino County. I did a forum, Justice William Douglas Forum at the college, on Mendocino County economy and the timber industry. There was over 300 people there back in the late 80s. It was well attended. People all know money drives things in this county, right or wrong.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown.
And just one comment to Mr. Padva is the fact that forest land owners, they go through a lot of certification. They also do a lot of testing. There's a lot of requirements put on them. So you can go to any forestry department and get comments about the hack and squirt. I do not believe it leaches into the waterways. Sorry.
And okay. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
And Roundup doesn't leach into the waste anyway, except in organic grapes now, they're finding glyphosate from Roundup. They're finding glyphosate in the cotton that's growing. They're finding it in the tampons made of that cotton. You wonder where cervical cancer comes from? Think about it, folks. Roundup's a scourge. We don't need it. We can do better naturally.
Mr. Padva, we'll start with you on the next question. What is your position on Measure W?
I'm all for home rule. There should be an opportunity for the people to create a charter that would give them more control over their local county without the state interfering. And to the extent that that allows for that, there's 14 or so other counties that have it, why not?
Mrs. Brown?
Thank you. On Measure W, I think it's well-intentioned, but I must say, and I have shared this with the proponents because they did come before the Board of Supervisors many times on other issues such as public bank, but being well-intentioned, I don't think that Measure W, if passed, will do what the people have said it was gonna do. Measure W, charter counties, there's only 14 out of 58 counties. That probably should tell you something. If passed, a charter county will make it harder to function as a county itself on many matters and issues that come before the board or that county residents have, because in many cases, depending how the charter is written, it has to go on the ballot for a vote of the people.
There you go.
Well, the County Board of Supervisors has asked for a financial analysis. I think it's important that we did that, and to make it public, hopefully real soon. But I think it will be very costly, and I don't think a county that's as poor as we are needs those expenses.
Okay, and the next question will start with Mrs. Brown. What is the county doing, if anything, to bring healthy industry to the county, and what kind of industry should we be trying for?
Well, we were working very hard, and I say we, every member of the board was working very hard until the drought came. When the drought came, we couldn't encourage businesses to come. But we also had the downturn. Way back when we had the ballot initiative by DDR on the Masonite property, I very much opposed it. I wanted to see that land stay industrial, some of the best industrial land that we have in the county, plus it has the services, except the water moratorium. But certainly people like Factory Pipe, who is now committed to that area. We have a company that's looking at the Doug Fir and going to do a log stand and perhaps start an additional business to process that lumber. I think that's very important. Our forest land owners have had no market for their Doug Fir. But that's what you do. You go out. We've met with investors a number of times, made suggestions at what type of businesses could come in, but we're all working on economic development. Thank you.
Mr. Padva.
Yes, working on economic development. Mary Snyder owns a business entity in Redwood Valley. Right next to that business building is the vacant lot that now Dollar General has a contract to buy, I suppose, conditioned upon their getting their ABC license. I'm wondering, Mary Snyder, I believe, was a mayor of Ukiah at one time. Did you ever talk to her about selling that property?
Are you asking me a question?
Yes.
No, I found out when the people of Redwood Valley found out. It was an agreement between Ms. Snyder and Cross Development, Dollar General, that until everything was done, that she couldn't say a word. I found out, like the people of Redwood Valley, our current zoning allows for it, and that land is zoned commercial.
The fact is, I would be talking, and I tried to talk to Mary Snyder. She wouldn't talk to me.
She doesn't talk to me either.
The truth is, had I been a supervisor, I would have made sure that the people were aware of what was going on, what the plans were. Let every realtor knows what's going on in this county. Dick Selzer's aware of those things.
It was a confidentiality clause.
Before it even happens.
Okay. This question will start with Mr. Padva. What is unique about the First District?
The First District's uniqueness lies in Lake Mendocino and the Russian River that comes and is fed by the Eel River through the Van Arsdale Dam. It's got a great recreation potential. It's also got Vichy Hot Springs, a place that a lot of people come from around the world. 50,000 visitors a year they've been getting the last few years. The truth is, that's the one destination right here in Ukiah, tourist destination. And unfortunately, there's a gunfire range right there. It's firing off shells all day. Doesn't have to close. It's self-regulated. Both the city and the county have refused to regulate what goes on there. There's lead being fed into the air. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, Sacramento just closed an armed fire range, and they're having problems with all the lead in the air and the surrounding dirt. Ukiah City and the County of Mendocino ought to take a look at that. It's a serious situation. The ricocheting bullets could hit somebody at any time.
Mrs. Brown?
Yes. What's really unique about the First District, there are no cities. It's the only district within the county that does not have a municipality. It's rural, rustic, and agriculture. I think I like that. Mr. Padva mentioned Lake Mendocino, but when it was a mud flat, we lost a lot of tourist dollars. So that's another reason why I'm working very hard on water issues. That's all. Thank you.
This next question will start with Mrs. Brown. Development costs in the Ukiah Valley are out of sight. What can be done to help the Ukiah Valley build more housing?
Well, I believe our development costs here are not as high as they are elsewhere. And that has not stopped the development of housing in Sonoma County. I mean, you just look. Every place you turn, there's a new housing development. But I do feel the way that we can help is to work with any developer that comes into the area or that's already here to build those housing. I think you all know that in South Ukiah, the old Sargentini property, that is an approved development. But yet, the houses aren't being built.
Mr. Padva?
Yeah, well, I think we ought to have our planning commission take a look at the idea of teepees. There's some very fine teepees that could be erected, low cost, not the high cost that generates for people that have the money to build things, but people that are living on disability and or Social Security, that's all they can afford. And by the way, there's a lot of people that enjoy living in teepees. And I'm not talking about just a canvas thing. I'm talking about something that you can actually have a wood stove inside and do your cooking. Wood stove that could be burning low smoke wood.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown?
Yeah, one thing that I think Mr. Padva agree with me, we don't have the water supply. We've had water agencies, water districts on moratoriums. So it hasn't been very favorable in attracting those that want to build more housing.
Thank you. We'll start with Mr. Padva. Why has the county not declared a state of emergency on homelessness like some neighbor counties have? Would you support that?
I think there is an emergency. Clearly, the people in Sonoma County are stepping ahead. They're having meetings all the time on trying to address the issue of homelessness because it's packing the jails with people who don't need to be in jails. It's packing the people who are mentally ill, people who just don't have the income or the ability to live from month to month on their disability payments or their Social Security. They're addicted to something that causes them to spend their money on that something, and they don't know how to regulate that. People come right up to Mendocino County. I've eaten at Plowshares many times. I contribute to it. I want to know that these people are being fed and adequately cared for. We need to do a better job as a community in helping these people overcome their addictions or their plight.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown?
Yes, it is an emergency. And we're not the only ones struggling. As was just said, a number of counties have declared emergencies. But we have a lot of individuals as well as county workers working to make a difference, to put programs together that address this. Just recently, I met with a ministry group that wants to be able to counsel these people, give them care during the day. They're in the process of trying to lease a building to do that, to give them programs and services, along with the other programs and services that are provided. But homelessness is a problem. When the shelter closed this winter, they went out to Lake Mendocino. They stayed there 2 weeks. It horrified the other campers. People left. At the end of the 2 weeks, Those individuals were turned out, and now with the better weather, they're probably right back down at the river. But it is an issue.
This one will start with Mrs. Brown. In what ways do you think the county spends its revenues well, and in what ways do you think the county misspends its revenues?
Well, we have to be very cautious about how we spend. Again, we're not a rich county. I do believe that we've made some smart decisions in expenditures into our infrastructure, and we're including roads. That's not wasted money. Wasted money, I just can't think of an area that we do waste money. And I think we have very dedicated and hardworking county employees that would be offended to, you know, think that they are being considered that, wasting money. But we work very hard. We have budget hearings coming up on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. I hope the community involves themselves. We've won awards for our budget book. It's very transparent. Come and help us decide where the money goes.
Thank you. Mr. Podba?
Yeah, the incompetence that I discovered in taking out my papers to run for this district was I was given a map of the district, paid $6 for it, went home, took a look at the map. It's not a map of the district. It's not a map of the first district at all. Brought it back to get another map. Oh, I was given one. I asked them, will we certify that this is a map of the district? No, I can't do that. Oh, went home, take a look at it. Again, nope, it's not a map of the district. Third time was a charm. I went back. I said, I want a map of the district. Well, the only one we have, they say, is this big, huge one back here. We can't give you that. Oh, why not? Make a copy of it. Oh, we don't have a copy of that size. I went across to talk to the supervisor. John McGowan was on duty. I said, John, I can't get a copy of the map. He said, why can't you get one off the website? And I looked at him and said, why can't they get one off the website? The truth is, I was given the huge map that day to take home and copy at Staples. And I brought it back after the weekend. I still don't know part of the first district is on this side of the freeway, in Ukiah, by the way. I don't know the exact addresses or streets that those houses are on. That's incompetence. Also incompetence, in looking at that front page of the website, I saw only one supervisor was correctly identified. My opponent was identified as Dan Hamburg. That website had been up for 9 years or 8 years. That's incompetence. That's high school yearbook. Competence is what I will bring. I will demand excellence, and I will appreciate the excellence of all the people who work for the county. I know there's good people working there, but they haven't been held accountable. The leadership hasn't held them accountable.
Okay. Did you want to respond, Mrs. Brown?
Yeah, Dan Hamburg has not sat on the Board of Supervisors for more than 7-9 years. So I'm not quite sure what Mr. Podva's talking about, but he did complain in an open session of the Board of Supervisors. At my first break, I went and looked. Everybody was identified correctly. So don't know what he's talking about.
I'll hand out the picture from the email on 4/5/16, and you'll see they were not properly identified, folks.
Okay, last question we'll have, and it'll be slightly different for the two of you. For you, Mrs. Brown, the question is, what do you consider your best accomplishment since you've been a supervisor? And for Mr. Podva, the question will be, what do you hope to accomplish first as a supervisor? And we'll start with Mr. Podva.
First, I would want to bring a sense of leadership. A sense of we're in this together, each and every one of us. We depend and we rely on one another. We help each other. We criticize each other constructively. We look at things, we review things. We demand that the time and energy is put in to do things correctly, on time, meeting and treating our constituents as our customers. Every citizen, every taxpayer, every person in this county ought to be treated with dignity and respect by anybody who's working for the local government, the county government, or the state government. That's the first thing I would do, is try to build the morale of the employees that are in county government so that they do an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown.
Yes, I think one of my greatest accomplishments had to do with fixing the structural deficit of the county budget. We now have a general reserve, and that is $11.5 million. We have a contingency fund of around $600,000. We have a pension gap fund, and that is about $3 million. A little bit more than that. We also have a process that the public can understand, an award-winning budget book, and a process that citizens can participate fully. I'm most proud of the fact that I called attention to our area. I brought forth the first drought declaration, emergency drought declaration in the state. Other counties started following thereafter. We hosted the state drought task force. Those dignitaries coming from the state level will never forget sitting on the top of Coyote Valley Dam. It brought in my work, because I chaired the county committee, brought in over $6 million to help this county, countywide, make it through the drought, be prepared for the next drought in a multitude of projects.
Okay, thank you. And that wraps up our questions. We'll get a 1 minute statement, closing statement from each of you, and this time we'll start with Mr. Padva.
Yes, I practiced law out of Willits for 10 years. I was diligent in protecting my client's constitutional rights with 1538.5 motions to suppress evidence in violation of the Fourth Amendment against illegal searches and seizures. I clerked for Justice William O. Douglas for 3 years at the Supreme Court of the United States. After studying constitutional law under Justice Anthony Kennedy in 1976 at UOP McGeorge School of Law, and I taught constitutional law and contract law for 10 years at Empire School of Law in Santa Rosa. That was until 2007, when I could no longer teach constitutional law, as it was only being honored in the breach, and I went to Hawaii and got my Aloha Mahalo spirit back. I've come back to Mendocino County to see if we can breathe some life back into our Constitution and stand up and be proud of who we are. Defend the Constitution that our fathers, who served in the last declared war, World War II, fought for. Not all these police actions that are unconstitutional, because Congress has never, ever declared a war. I'm looking forward to working for the people of Mendocino County, and I hope that you will join me in bringing the Constitution back into our schools, back into our communities. Carrie Brown gave hers away that I gave to her. I'm sorry you did that, Carrie. I hope you will read the Constitution one day.
Mrs. Brown.
Thank you. I am seeking another term. It would be my third term in office serving as a county supervisor. I am a working supervisor. I engage myself in the residents' concerns, their issues, and matters. I really feel that people respect a lot that I have done while I've been in office. And the reason why is because I listen. And most importantly, it was hearing the judges speak and about the Supreme Court. I'm the only female on the board. And women need a place. and our Board of Supervisors needs a woman's touch. So I hope that everyone will support me. I have literature on the table that will give more information of what I've done in office since I've been in for two terms. Thank you.
And thank you both very much for coming.
Thank you.